I was hoping that the government of Japan would have been more prepared as far as vaccinations are concerned.
There are concerns expressed about the Olympics. This is Friday, July 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. has doubled its new cases of COVID over the past month. Arrest in Hong Kong for authors of children's books. Economic divisions grow in Tibet's largest city. NASA's Mars rover to start digging on the Red Planet. An attempt to convince North Korea to return to talks on its nuclear program. It is all on today's VOA Asia. Excitement is building over the Tokyo Olympics, despite more athletes testing positive for COVID-19. While the games are set to begin this Friday, the head of the Tokyo Organizing Committee says there is still a chance they could be canceled due to the virus. Still, sports fans in the U.S. are eagerly gearing up to watch, as VOA's Mariama Diallo reports.
The Olympics Games in Tokyo are back on track starting Friday, 1 year after being postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. fans, like others around the world, are eagerly waiting to watch.
I'm most excited for track because I was in track from in high school, so I'm most excited to see that, and especially the girls' race.
I love track and field. I'm looking forward to some of the newer events. I think there's skateboarding, if I'm not mistaken, and beach volleyball is always fun.
So I'm really excited that baseball is being played at the Olympics again. It's been a long time, and I'm really happy for that.
But COVID-19 continues to be a threat, and there is concern that Japan's vaccination rate is lagging.
I was hoping that the government of Japan would have been more prepared as far as vaccinations are concerned, because I know that there are a lot of other nations who are concerned about their athletes going out.
Others are not worried.
I feel like the team would be very safe and they would feel cautious themselves.
Japan has reported over 850,000 COVID-19 cases and 15,000 deaths since the start of the pandemic, according to a tally by the Johns Hopkins University's Resource Center. Tokyo's governor says the city's medical system is ready to hold safe and secure Olympics.
Quite a lot of people will be vaccinated, and many will be vaccinated during the Tokyo Games. What will change as a result is that the rate of the elderly becoming seriously ill has been greatly reduced. The number of deaths is also very low, almost zero.
But the governor also warned that the coronavirus pandemic is far from over and the Delta variant remains a risk. This has led dozens of protesters to march against hosting the games.
Over 1,000 people have gotten infected in 3 consecutive days in Tokyo, and people are dying. If we had allocated money and human resources to anti-COVID measures, the situation wouldn't have got this bad.
The chief of the Tokyo Organizing Committee said Tuesday he has not ruled out a last-minute cancellation of the games as more athletes test positive for the virus. The Tokyo Olympics are due to run from July 23rd to August 8th. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
On the eve of the games, organizers fired the director of the opening ceremony over a joke he made about the Holocaust many years ago, while media reported former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, a staunch advocate for the Tokyo Games, would skip the showpiece event. Reporter Steve Ross is in Tokyo for VOA Asia with other news surrounding the opening of the Olympic Games.
Once billed as a recovery Olympics to showcase Japan's comeback from the devastating 2011 Fukushima earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster, it is now a pandemic Olympics facing challenges and potential highlights all its own. Fukushima Azuma Stadium was the site of the first Games event. Defending softball champion Japan faced Australia on Wednesday ahead of Friday's opening ceremony in Tokyo. In Japan's capital, volunteers designated the City Cast are helping organizers with final Games-related preparations and will guide traffic and visitors around the venues. Heat is a major factor, with temperatures in Tokyo reaching 33 degrees Celsius on Thursday. And Tokyo reported over 1,800 cases of COVID-19 on Wednesday, up from about 1,150 on Wednesday of last week.
Steve Ross for VOA News, Tokyo.
These are some of the stories you'll find at voanews.com. 12 Thai student activists charged with royal defamation. China thanks Taiwan president indirectly for concern over floods. Biden vows to continue encounter with China over opioids. Angry Indian farmers to protest near parliament. Pentagon admits Taliban control half of Afghan district centers. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The U.S. has averaged more than 26,000 new COVID-19 cases per day over the past week, more than double the number it was a month ago, with a more contagious Delta variant making up over 80% of cases. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swera looks at the Biden administration's strategy for dealing with the surge as misinformation continues to drive anti-vaccination sentiments in certain groups.
COVID-19 restrictions on bars and nightclubs in some U.S. cities have been fully lifted, but the fast-spreading Delta variant has led to a surge in cases and hospitalizations, particularly in areas with high vaccine hesitancy rates. The Biden administration calls it a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Dr. Rochelle Walensky is the director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well.
Despite the administration's efforts to push the free and readily available vaccines, government data shows only 49% of Americans are fully vaccinated. A recent Axios Ipsos poll shows 30% of American adults surveyed said they haven't gotten the vaccine. Chris Jackson is the head of polling at Ipsos.
There's a wide range of reasons given for not wanting to get the vaccine. And they, generally speaking, come down to some sort of sense of safety of the vaccine itself, along with not thinking that the coronavirus is that serious or that dangerous.
The data shows that anti-vaccine individuals primarily get their news from alternative media sources, which often spread health misinformation. Last week, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy warned of its dangers.
Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks in high-risk settings. It's led them to turn down proven treatments and to choose not to get vaccinated.
A recent Washington Post ABC News poll showed 86% of Democrats have received at least one shot, compared with 45% of Republicans. Now the Republican Party leadership is urging supporters to get vaccinated. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I want to encourage everybody to do that and to ignore all of these other voices that are giving demonstrably bad advice.
This marks a notable shift after months of Republican resistance against the Biden administration's pandemic efforts. Responding to VOA's question on board Air Force One, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Anyone who goes out there and shares accurate information about the effectiveness of the vaccine, about the fact that it can save lives, is a positive step in our view, and hopefully it continues.
Meanwhile, at least two vaccinated White House staff have tested positive for COVID-19 after interacting with more than 50 Texas state representatives who visited the nation's capital last week. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Asian countries are reporting record COVID-19 waves this year compared to 2020 as vaccination drives fall short and governments lose hope that mass closures and border controls can keep the coronavirus away, observers in the region say. Spread of the Delta variant from India, infections among airline personnel, and citizens who brought back the virus from trips spread COVID-19 in parts of Asia with recent outbreaks. Containment measures had relaxed in some spots after months of low caseloads, while domestic travel picked up. Much of 660 million population Southeast Asia now faces new rounds of economic inactivity triggered by business closures and stay-home orders to contain the virus. The Asian Development Bank said this month it had downgraded Southeast Asia's 2021 economic growth forecast to 4% from 4.4% as some countries reimpose pandemic restrictions. You're listening to VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, the U.S. Justice Department Thursday accused a prosecutor employed by the Chinese government of traveling to the United States to direct a harassment campaign aimed at bullying Chinese residents to return home to face criminal charges. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Hong Kong police arrested five people Thursday on sedition charges, saying that children's books they had published were aimed at inciting hatred toward the city's government. More from Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson.
Five people in Hong Kong have been arrested on charges of sedition for books they published featuring sheep and wolves. Hong Kong police say the stories are aimed at inciting hatred amongst young people towards the city's government. Those arrested were members of a speech therapists union that produced books for children. They were arrested under a colonial-era law targeting sedition, which had been rarely used before the anti-government protests. First convictions under the sedition law carry a maximum penalty of 2 years in prison. At a media briefing on Thursday, police displayed the confiscated books. One of them is titled Defenders of the Sheep Village and tells the story of wolves wanting to occupy a village and eat the sheep, who in turn use their horns to fight back. Police say the book was connected to the 2019 protests. Two other books were highlighted as raising concern, including one about 12 sheep taken by wolves to the beast's village, where they would be cooked. It potentially alludes to the 12 Hong Kong people captured by China in August last year, as they tried to flee the city by boat. Thursday's arrests add to fears about the shrinking space for dissent in Hong Kong since Beijing imposed a national security law last year. Security officials have said law enforcement is based on evidence and has nothing to do with an individual's political stance, background, or profession.
Flora Bradley Watson reporting. China, meanwhile, has rejected the World Health Organization's proposal for a second phase of its investigation into the origin of the novel coronavirus pandemic. Shen Yixin, the vice minister of the Chinese National Health Commission, told reporters in Beijing Thursday that he was extremely surprised when he read the proposal offered by the UN Health Agency includes audits of laboratories in the city of Wuhan, where the virus was first detected in late 2019 that led to more than 192 million infections around the globe, including 4.1 million deaths. Zheng said the WHO's origin tracing proposal lacks common sense and displays a disrespect toward science that makes it impossible for Beijing to accept. A team of WHO researchers visited Wuhan earlier this year to research the initial cause of the virus. The team concluded the virus likely jumped from animals to humans and that it was extremely unlikely that it leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as some experts had speculated. But WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus has criticized China for not fully cooperating with investigators by not sharing raw data, and has called for a continued probe of all theories, including a lab accident.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. The floods drenching central China and submerging swaths of a major economic and transport hub are threatening supply chains for goods ranging from cars and electronics to pigs, peanuts, and coal. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Under towering mountains, cranes and newly built blocks of apartments stretch up to blue skies around the Tibetan capital of Lhasa as a construction boom creates a two-tier system of property wealth between state workers and everyone else. A huge infrastructure and building drive in Tibet has brought airports, roads, railways, and new apartment buildings, which Beijing says are improving life across the remote mountainous plateau. But the boom is also changing the historic Buddhist city and pushing property prices out of the reach of many residents, according to Tibetans, sharpening divisions in a region well known for discontent under Chinese control. A short distance from the Potala Palace, the former home of the exiled Dalai Lama, construction workers crawl over high-end condo towers being built by Chinese developer Country Garden. Many locals have moved to apartments on the city's outskirts, with traditional homes often converted to hotels or shops targeting tourists. Speaking to these points is Tenzin Choiki, a Tibetan living in France.
So when the tourists come to Tibet, they would not necessarily know these changes. They would see that it's very pretty. But when the Tibetans look at their own land being reshaped in a very, you know, minute ways, which people who don't know will entirely miss how much of Tibet is really left there.
Vietnam's first homegrown car manufacturer, VinFast, said recently it will launch two new electric vehicle models early next year in North America and Europe as it pushes to enter the lucrative but crowded market. The car maker is a subsidiary of Vietnam's largest private conglomerate, Vingroup, which is owned by the country's richest man, a press-shy billionaire who started his career selling dried noodles in Ukraine. It aims to launch its two new electric car models, the VFE35 and VFE36, in March of 2022, according to the company, but VinFast will face stiff competition, especially when going up against big-name brands like Volkswagen and Elon Musk's Tesla. To prepare for its entry into global markets, the company said it had recruited experts from firms including Tesla, BMW, and Toyota. Domestically, VinFast has already sold vehicles that include sedan and SUV models, along with e-scooters, even electric buses. Sold around 30,000 vehicles last year. The firm introduced its domestic electric car model, the VFE34, costing about $29,000 in January. The cradle-to-grave Vingroup empire includes housing, resorts, schools, hospitals, and shopping malls. According to Forbes, Vingroup CEO Pham Nhat Vuong is worth an estimated $7 billion. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. Making headlines in Asia, the bodies of all 14 workers trapped when a tunnel under construction was flooded last week have been recovered, according to authorities in southern China. Officials gave no further information about the cause of the July 15th disaster or the deaths. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, NASA's Mars rover Perseverance will start taking rock samples from the bed of an ancient lake within 2 weeks. The U.S. Space Agency says the module, which is the size of a large SUV, landed on February 18th in the crater Jezero with a mission of looking for traces of ancient life. It has since traveled a kilometer south of its landing site. NASA believes the crater was home to a deep lake billions of years ago that filled and then emptied many times, and that could have created the conditions for life. Ken Farley is the Mars Perseverance project scientist.
The first opportunity where we could see potential biosignatures in a way that I think could be compelling will be when we expose the interior of the rock through abrasion. And our first opportunity to do that is in association with the collection of this first sample in the next few weeks.
The rover will also try to find possible signs of ancient germs. NASA is planning a return mission with the European Space Agency to collect and bring the samples back to Earth around the 2030s. Top U.S. and South Korean officials have agreed to try to convince North Korea to return to talks on its nuclear program, which Pyongyang has insisted it will not do in protest of what it calls U.S. hostility. AP correspondent Zuria Shankly reports.
U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman was in Seoul as part of her regional tour that will take her to China this weekend. She'll be the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit China since President Joe Biden took office in January. She has met South Korean Foreign Minister Chang Il-yong for talks on North Korea, the military alliance between Seoul and Washington, and other regional issues. Chang's ministry said in a statement the two decided to continue close consultations to get North Korea to return to talks. I'm Zaria Shakili.
Thousands of websites around the world were unreachable Thursday in what appears to have been a problem with a widely used content distribution network. Akamai said on its website that it was experiencing an emergency issue with its Edge DNS service. Later, the company said the issues had been resolved. Akamai tweeted, "We have implemented a fix for this issue, and based on current observations, the service is resuming normal operations. We will continue to monitor to ensure that the impact has been fully mitigated." DNS, or Domain Name Service, is a directory that links domain names with machine-readable Internet Protocol addresses. Some of the larger websites impacted included Delta Airlines, British Airways, Capital One, GoDaddy, Vanguard, UPS, LastPass, AT&T, and Costco. Some services were already starting to return as Delta reported its online services were back up, according to CNBC. What caused the outage remains unknown. The Pentagon's watchdog said on Tuesday it would evaluate the safety protocols surrounding the president's nuclear football, containing codes needed for a strike, after one such briefcase nearly came within range of rioters storming the Capitol on January 6th. Emily Wither has the details.
It's called the nuclear football, and wherever the president goes, the briefcase goes. It contains the launch codes needed for a nuclear strike. But now the Pentagon is asking, how safe is the thing? After it was revealed that one of the briefcases almost came in range of the rioters that stormed Congress on January 6th. The Pentagon's watchdog, the Inspector General's office, says it's now evaluating to what extent officials can detect and respond if it's lost, stolen, or compromised. The football is officially called the Presidential Emergency Satchel, and one U.S. official told Reuters that the January 6th siege helped trigger the evaluation. Vice President Mike Pence was at the U.S. Capitol at the time, accompanied by a military aide carrying a backup nuclear football, when President Trump's supporters stormed the place. Security camera footage shows Pence being escorted to safety, the satchel right behind him. Even if rioters had taken possession of the satchel, any nuclear strike order would still have needed to be confirmed and processed by the military. But this was just one of several times during Trump's presidency that the security of the nuclear football came into question. Rewind to 2017. Trump was in Beijing having lunch with Chinese President Xi Jinping. A Chinese security official got into a tussle in another room with the U.S. military aide carrying the briefcase. According to a former senior Trump administration official, the White House chief of staff, John Kelly, intervened and got into a physical altercation with the Chinese official to ensure the nuclear football did not get away from the military aide. Also on Jan 20th of this year, Trump insisted on leaving Washington before the inauguration of Democrat Joe Biden. That meant a live football would have to go with him to be on hand until Biden was sworn in. Trump was accompanied by a military aide carrying a nuclear football. These incidents will be looked at as the Pentagon assesses just how secure the nuclear button is.
That was Reuters' Emily Wither. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Doug Bernard, Keith Lame, Emmy Heibels, Chris Cascao, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman. Please stay healthy and enjoy the day.